Psychokinesis and Science. One problem with analyzing psychokinesis scientifically is that scientists are easily fooled by those claiming to have psychic power. Scientists are trained to believe what they see in the lab. Magicians claiming psychic powers, however, are trained to deceive others by fooling their visual senses. As a result, scientists have been poor observers of psychic phenomena. For example, in 1982, parapsychologists were invited to analyze two young boys who were thought to have extraordinary gifts, Michael Edwards and Steve Shaw. These boys claimed to be able to bend metal, create images on photographic film via their thoughts, move objects via psychokinesis, and read minds. Parapsychologist Michael Thalborn was so impressed, he invented the term psychokinete to describe these boys. At the McDonald Laboratory for Psychical Research in St. Louis, Missouri, the parapsychologists were dazzled by the boys' abilities. The parapsychologists believed they had genuine proof of the boys' psychic power and began preparing a scientific paper on them. The next year, the boys announced that they were fakes and that their power originated from standard magic tricks, not supernatural power. One of the youths, Steve Shaw, would go on to become a prominent magician, often appearing on national television and being buried alive for days at a time. Extensive experiments on psychokinesis have been conducted at the Ryan Institute at Duke University under controlled conditions, but with mixed results. One pioneer in the subject, Professor Gertrude Schmeidler, was a colleague of mine at the City University of New York. A former editor of Parapsychology magazine and a past president of the Parapsychology Association, she was fascinated by ESP and conducted many studies on her own students at the college. She used to scour cocktail parties where famous psychics would perform psychic tricks in front of the dinner guests in order to recruit more subjects for her experiments. But after analyzing hundreds of students and scores of mentalists and psychics, she once confided to me that she was unable to find a single person who could perform these psychokinetic feats on demand under controlled conditions. She once spread around a room tiny thermistors that could measure changes in temperature to fractions of a degree. One mentalist was able, after strenuous mental effort, to raise the temperature of a thermistor by a tenth of a degree. Schmeidler was proud that she could perform this experiment under rigorous conditions, but it was a far cry from being able to move large objects on demand by the force of one's mind. One of the most rigorous but also controversial studies on psychokinesis was done at the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research, PAIR, program at Princeton University, founded by Robert G. Yahn in 1979 when he was serving as dean of the School of Engineering and Applied Science. The PAIR engineers were exploring whether or not the human mind, by thought alone, was capable of affecting the results of random events. For example, we know that when we flip a coin, there is a 50% probability of getting heads or tails. But the scientists at PAIR claimed that human thought alone was capable of affecting the results of these random events. Over a 28-year period, until the program was finally closed in 2007, engineers at PAIR conducted thousands of experiments, involving over 1.7 million trials and 340 million coin tosses. The results seem to confirm that the effects of psychokinesis exist, but the effects are quite tiny, no more than a few parts per 10,000 on average. And even these meager results have been disputed by other scientists who claim that the researchers had subtle hidden biases in their data. In 1988, the U.S. Army asked the National Research Council to investigate claims of paranormal activity. The U.S. Army was anxious to explore any possible advantage it could offer its troops, including psychic power. The National Research Council's report studied creating a hypothetical First Earth Battalion made up of warrior monks who would master almost all the techniques under consideration by the committee, including the use of ESP, leaving their bodies at will, levitating, psychic healing, and walking through walls. In investigating the claims of PAIR, the National Research Council found that fully half of all successful trials originated from a single individual. Some critics believe that this person was the one who ran the experiments or wrote the computer program for PAIR. For me, it's problematic if the one who runs the lab is the only one producing the results, says Dr. Ray Hyman of the University of Oregon. The report concluded that there was no scientific justification from research conducted over a period of 130 years for the existence of parapsychological phenomena. The problem with studying psychokinesis, even its advocates admit, is that it does not easily conform to the known laws of physics. Gravity, the weakest force in the universe, is only attractive and cannot be used to levitate or repel objects. The electromagnetic force obeys Maxwell's equations, and it does not admit the possibility of pushing electrically neutral objects across a room. The nuclear forces work only at short ranges, such as the distance between nuclear particles. Another problem with psychokinesis is the energy supply. The human body can produce only about 1/5 of a horsepower. Yet when Yoda in Star Wars levitated an entire starship by the power of his mind, or when Cyclops unleashed bolts of laser power from his eyes, these exploits violated the conservation of energy. A tiny being like Yoda cannot amass the amount of energy necessary to lift a starship. No matter how hard we concentrate, we cannot amass enough energy to perform feats and miracles ascribed to psychokinesis. Given all these problems, how might psychokinesis be consistent with the laws of physics?